live in the moment, always in the moment. In the family of God, powered by Christian love, powered by Christ. It is the love that Jesus had for us before time began. I know that's awesome when I say that. Really? He knows what I'm going to do. He knew all the foolish mistakes that I would and will and have made. He knows it. And I'm always excited because he loves me anyway. He just loves me like he loves you. You were given that life for a purpose. Many people say, you know, I've looked and looked and searched all around, for I wanted a purpose for my life. Well, let me give you a hint where to start. Look beside of you. Look around you. Look at the company that surrounds you. See, Jesus knows we need each other. It's called family. Now, the first institution that God set up on planet Earth was marriage. That's it. It's the first one. Marriage, family, community. God says, I'm going to do it this way. Because he says, his love, in his love, he will never ever give up on you, and he will never ever give up on me. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7. Love never gives up. All right, that's the last time I'm warning you. Son, I'm not going to warn you anymore. That's it. No more. Until next time. Son, I'm going to warn you again. Do you know what keeps bringing that out of you? It's called love. Now, you might not be very lovable, but God loves you all the time. I cannot do anything that will stop God's love. I will never hear those five words. I don't love you anymore, from God. Can't hear it. Because when he loves, he locks in that love. And I know, even above the catfish, God loved me. I'd go make it. I'd do just fine. But I was still afraid. Isn't that a little bit like life? I know that the Lord loves me. I know that the success of life, the purpose of life, is safe in the hands of God. But I don't want to mess it up. You see, that's a step of love that you have to get in. I know everything's fine. Folks, I'm going to heaven. You might as well get used to it right now. If you're going to heaven with me, you might as well start loving me right now. You got it? Amen, you don't have to like me, but you are ordered by God to love me. So suck it up, Marine. Love me. And we love one another just like we are. Now, wait a minute, preacher. Well, tell me how many people that you've really seen change that much since you've known them, but you still love them. You don't love everything they do, but you love them. See, love goes so much deeper because that love is a gift from God. Love never gives up, never loses faith. is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. I don't care how much hair you pull out. Love is so powerful that I want you to understand Jesus loves you and offers you an opportunity to be a part of his family. Now, there's not a more awesome family than God's family. The family of God. Have you ever noticed no two families are alike? Well, picture this one. No two people think alike. No two people act alike. They may act off, but not the same as the other. There is the individuality of God's creation. There'll never be another one just like you. There'll never be another one just like your husband or your wife. It's special. And you all are specially attracted to one another. So God says, all you need to do is pay attention to one word, love. And what does love do? It puts up with everything and continues. God said, if you will pray to me, I'll watch over your family. Now, listen to me, parents. God has promised your prayers for your children will be heard and will be answered. Do you hear me?
Amen.
So make sure you pray for them. Children, you make sure you respect your parents. Now, where do parents come in? Well, it's not always biological, but it's always powered by love. It's not always where you look and say, oh, you look just like your mama, or you look just like your daddy. No. Let me tell you who you look like. You look like you. Because that's how God created you, to be you. So families are made up of many different avenues of companionship of life. But God established marriage. This is it. Now, for a world that's attempting to change this, listen to me well. You won't. What God has created, God pays attention to. And I can promise you this, a challenge against God's family structure is a challenge that goes directly against God. And may God have mercy on your hard-hearted, sin-sick souls if you don't accept that. God's word does not change because of man's attitude. It didn't change for Sodom and Gomorrah. It will not change for the United States of America. God looks to the heart of his creation and he says, I'll give you guidelines for living. I'll promise you that I'll move a mountain for you. I promise you that I'll bless your children. I promise you, I promise you, I promise you, not one promise that our Savior has made to you has he ever broken or failed to complete for your life. He said, I'll give you life. I'll give you life eternal. I require from you love. See, love comes into the heart. And when love is in the heart, respect is given. I respect your right as a human being to go off any direction that you wish to go. God gives you that freedom. But I'm obliged as your pastor and as a preacher of God's word to tell you what God says and to warn you that if you take the wrong route, you will reap the benefits of the route. What kind of benefits? Oh, good and bad. If you call bad a benefit, it's a lifestyle. You try to change it, you'll be destroyed by it. But that's the word of God. And again, you know, I deal in history a lot. I love history, just like the World War II reenactments and all that. I love this stuff. But I love to learn from history and to see where man has fallen. When you create a fake history in your mind, then you serve a false god in your heart. Jesus said, I want you to pay attention. The first institution has always been my marriage. It's been family. It's been home. It's been community. And in the eyes of God, it'll always be that. Genesis 2, verse 18, the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. Boy, it's not, is it? You wives can't leave us alone for a heartbeat. We get in trouble. Now, if you go out and make another mess, oh, you'll clean it, or you'll help me. You'll clean me up. You'll forgive me. How do we know that stuff? Love. Folks, when you love, you look over a lot of faults and failures, a lot of personality quirks. You look over a lot of mean statements that are made to you by the one who says, I love you. How in the world, the scripture asks us, can you say that you have the love of Christ in you and you praise me, God, and yet you curse your fellow man, my creation, God's creation? To love me is to love my creation. Folks, don't you worry. God is still in control. He's still in charge. But I don't want folks hurt. I don't want to see the judgment on them. I've read the book, And I don't want judgment. I want mercy. I want love. I receive mercy. I receive love. I receive kindness from a creator who loves me just like I am. But he warns me. Parents, we are to warn our children. You tell them the truth, you can't make them follow it. You establish a way of life that praises God. You want to know what you do? You lead them to Christ. You tell them about Jesus. If you can't do it on your own like that, then you bring them into the house of God where other people love them. They will hear that word of God. My responsibility for my son was to raise my son to respect the word of God. God bless him. He was on revivals, and that boy got more preaching than you can imagine. Now, how much of it stuck? Just enough. Just enough with love. Do you hear me? It is the love that makes the difference. That's why you do it. But that's why you keep praying. You keep praying for your family. Folks, please do not kick them out. You know, I have told you, I grew up never hearing the words, I love you. Not one time did I hear it. Oh, I love all my children. I'm an individual child. You're individual. Parents, they need to hear, I love you in particular. I love you, Jason, in particular. That's what they need to hear. Why? Because through the power of love, their whole life will be set. You love one another, even though you're angry with each other. But the love must be there. I've told you before that I had the criminally insane in the prison system when God was using me in that system for all those years. And I had the units that where you were more than likely to get something thrown on you every time you would walk down from cell block to cell block. I was telling Randy about this not long ago. I remember sitting with this guy, inmate, vile criminal, they said. I had his jacket, and he was. And it was all I could do to keep the old Marine Corps out. You know, now, Larry, you're a chaplain now. You know, settle down, boy. But the more you read, the more your blood would boil. And the anger would be there. And I listened. And I was reading his jacket while I was listening. This is where I learned a great lesson. You don't know where they came from. You don't know the situation that led them into that mess. And as I was reading, he was still talking and all of this stuff. As I was reading about him, I read where a live-in man had murdered his mother, and he was 10 years old. And when the police arrived on the scene, this was all in the report, he was there scooping with his hands his mom's blood, trying to put it back in her. Scoop after scoop, it said, trying to bring his mom back to life. I'm listening and I'm reading. I can actually do that. I'm reading. And the anger I had on the inside for him and against him turned to care and love by the time I got through. Well, at the end of the whole conversation and dealing with him, the chief of chaplains was in the office. Three of us in the same office. And he noticed me and he said, Larry, I've never seen you get that emotional when dealing with especially the high crime criminal he was. And he said, what happened? I said, Jim, I despised him. I hated him. I wanted to do anything myself to make sure he didn't get out and do this again. And by the time I got through reading and listening, I loved him. And then you know what I said? What's wrong with me, Jim? What in the world is wrong with me? I said, look at that jacket. And he said, Larry, you'll be just fine. There's nothing wrong with you, except for the love of Jesus. You see, when the love of Christ truly becomes a part of you, then that love is so powerful that the ones you didn't really want to love. Lord, I didn't want to love them. I've seen husbands and wives that fell in love with each other, couldn't stand each other. Then they start dating and they fall in love and all that mushy stuff. And they fall in love and become great parents. You see, God works love that way. But once He locks that love in, that love is so powerful. You'll say, Lord, what's wrong with me? The more love you give, do you know the more love you receive? Amen. Do you realize that the more love and the more extension of your love that you will hand out to the one closest to you, the more love you will see around you?
Amen.
Do you know that that's a Christian thing? That's a Christian family. I know if it's a single parent family, by marriage, by divorce or by death, where love is, Christian love, there's the family. Where that love is, there is that family. That peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding, where God looks and He knows you. And I truly believe this. Did you know that God knows who you need beside you? Do you know that God knows the individual that needs to be sent to you at the time you need to see them? Because you need hope, God will send you a personality that's loaded with it. You see, that's what the family unit's about. Fine, you don't agree with everything your children do. Fine, guarantee you they probably don't agree with anything you're doing. That's called life. But you don't quit loving because life hits. When life hits, you hang in there. And you ask God to give you the grace. And you pray that the rest of that family is begging for God to give them grace, put up with you. You got me? Because we are different. But one Savior, His name is Jesus. When you introduce your children to the atmosphere where the Word of God is preached, that's a good Christian family. That's what it means. No definition. Well, the definition's in the love part. The love of Christ, not the love of the world. Can you really look at existence and think that it wasn't God that created it? Think of it. Oh, I don't believe there is a God. Well, I'm sorry. God doesn't need you to believe that He exists to exist. But because He exists, do you know what He did? He sent His only begotten Son to take every fault that you would ever have and to give His life so that you could have peace and you would understand love, the love that Christ gives you, is a love that endures. Oh, not just while you're in this body. Folks, you are spiritual beings. Only reason you got this body is to walk around on earth. When you get ready to leave here, you don't need it. It's made out of dirt anyway. God says you are spirit. And you, spirit, must worship God, He says, in spirit and in truth. Jesus comes along to die on that cross to give you forgiveness, salvation, and welcome you into his family. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Huh. That's what God said I needed. To worship him, I need a spirit. I am a spirit with a human body. I have a spiritual body waiting, or it's already there, too deep for me. But I know that. And I'll get a glorified body exactly when you get yours. Jesus is always right on time. He fulfills his promise. And the scripture says, because I'm family, he's coming to get me. Are you family? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life? Have you followed him in baptism? See, salvation is of the Lord. It's through the conviction by the Holy Spirit that we accept Christ. But baptism, why do I get baptized? Because Jesus told me to. That's good enough for me. But it is the outward expression of your inward condition. You're outwardly telling everybody during your baptism, I believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You have just confessed Jesus to the world. And when you confess Jesus to the world, Jesus is not talking about you. Look at him, Lord. Father, pay attention to him. He is pushing the name of your son. Our Father in heaven is a proud father. For only he, God himself, would be able to witness his offspring, Jesus the Christ, that was more than willing to take all the garbage of life, all the sin. But you know what? He took all my pain to be. Any of us who know pain, we don't like just a little of it. But he took the ultimate of pain. Pain in hell. I'll never see it. I'll never experience it. But do you know why? Because of my Father. He made sure that he would take it for me on a cross. So you think that I would, you know, if I thought he would make a statement, I'd be baptized every time somebody stick me on the water. Then I met a lot of people, and I thought, Lord, I don't want them to baptize me. Did you know how important that baptism is? That you don't need a preacher for baptism. Come on, folks. Read Scripture. The disciples baptized, but it was a Christian baptizing fellow Christians. I guarantee you those disciples did not baptize 5,000 people in one day. No, they did not. It was once a believer becomes a believer, that believer is given the authority by God that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord has accepted him as Lord and Savior, be baptized. Yeah. And that's the most I've spoken of baptism since Randy Kidder ever listened to me. Because it's important simply because Jesus said, you do it. That you're witness to the world. I believe. But the question is, do you? Do you believe? The answer is in your heart. If you do follow through in your commitments, everyone, when you say that I know that Jesus loves me, well, did you know that he also told you to love everybody else?
Amen.
You mean I got to look at that part? Yeah. Yeah, look the whole thing, folks. Because he loved me, I am given the ability to love you and my fellow man. I can sit with one of the hardest core criminals in the country and end up at the end of it. Oh, I was angry. I was angry at me. Enough to ask the chief of chaplains, what's wrong with me? I thought, you know, I'm not going to be able to stay in this chaplaincy stuff. You can't love people who's that bad. Then I get this message, you know, from the Lord he always wants to touch your heart with. I love you, Larry. Oh. Sin is sin is sin. Don't care what it is. Heterosexual sin, homosexual sin, 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 sin. Stealing a grape or stealing $1 million. Sin, sin, sin. You got it? The reason God hates sin, you know what it is? It hurts you and me. It hurts his children. That's why he hates sin. But here we are in a world of sin. You've got the scripture in your bulletin because I went completely out of it. But I promise you this. That's the word of God. And it don't get better than the word of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the blessings and the joy of your salvation, for your touch. Father, as we search through our heart, help us to always have that love for all those around us. And Father, we have trouble on the forgiveness part, especially, Father, when we've been hurt so bad from the sin. But I pray, dear Lord God, that you give us that strength the way Jesus forgave me. Help me to forgive continually. Help us now, Father, as a body of believers united together to glorify you. Let your wisdom, your will be done in our life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.